welcomes this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Praise God. Well, it's good to be with you here today. Jonathan and I, we spoke together a few weeks ago, and it was decided, we said, look, there's only one way that you're going to come over and preach in Crawley, and I'm going to come and preach in Worthing, and that's that we'll do a swap. So this morning we did a grand swap, and it's just good to be with you, part of Kingdom Faith Church, and just meeting in a different location. But the same heart of faith and love. I almost felt like I wanted to go out with that young people's group, talking about, finding out more about God's love. I'm finding out more about his love every day, and he's wonderful. Now today, I'm going to overdose you on visual aids. So if someone could bring the cross out, we have the cross somewhere around about there, and as a couple of people to bring out the easel, or what do we call it? Yeah, an easel. And that can come out to my right. I'm going to stand somewhere in the middle here. And we're going to look at some scriptures this morning. And the thing that God impressed upon me today, the message was, is to do with the fact that we're being sent. We're learning all about that. And also, perhaps connecting and pass these out. And I'm going to ask you, start juggling, Andrea, start juggling. As these are passed out this morning, you just take one post-it note and just hold it. Just keep it in your hand or put it next to you. Or stick it on the person next to you, could do that. But just grab a post-it note. You'll need a pen. So if you need a pen, put your hand up and we'll pass you a pen as well. There's not a lot of writing to do, but I just want to make this really, really practical today. So while those are going around, you'll all need one. And you'll all need something to write with as well. If you haven't got something, put your hand up and we'll get a pen or a pencil to you. Has everyone got a writing implement? A few hands. So we'll pass these around. Well, you're all looking good and anointed this morning. And, you know, I had a great surprise this morning, just coming here. I mean, it's a great surprise going anyway with me. But I had a great surprise that two dear friends of mine, who I haven't seen, I worked it out, it's somewhere in the 70s. I hadn't seen, but they walked through the door this morning. And I immediately recognized, first of all, I recognized Phil. And then I remembered his wife's name is Judy, which is a miracle in itself. I should remember those two names. Back in the days when I was a single man, I was living over the other side of Crawley, and I joined this community of Christians that were living in this place called Hill Place in Crawley. The guys that had come, they were part of Youth with a Mission, and I joined them for actually not that long a time before we then moved off down to Ramsgate to establish a church work down there. And it's just great to see them walk through the door this morning and not seeing for all those years. And they look as young as ever, just like me. So it's great to see you, Phil and Judy. And we'll have to catch up and see what God's been doing over these few years. You know, I got saved when I was 10 and a half. I was brought up in a very godly home. My parents loved Jesus. I'm one of seven, so I've got three brothers and three sisters. And I remember at 10 and a half years of age being in, it wasn't quite like this building, it was more of like a chapel. It was a chapel, actually. That's why it looked like a chapel. And I remember that the man preaching the gospel that day, I didn't understand what the word meant then, but I was convicted. And at the end, he said, if you want to find out how you can really know Jesus, then come and speak to me. I'd love to pray for you. And I did. At the end, I went to the back of the meeting place, spoke to him, and I began to cry, very embarrassed, looking up at all these adults. Concerned about what they would think. They probably didn't even notice this little boy crying. And I said, I really want to give my life to Jesus. And the reason I was crying was because I realized perhaps more than ever before that Jesus died for me. That was the thing that really convinced me, that Jesus died for me. I could see the reason that he died for me. And in a very simple, a very childlike way, and it would have been at 10 and a half, I realized that my whole life would be a waste of time without giving my life to him. There's something he wanted to do in my life on that day that would affect the rest of my days. And so in that moment, in those few, I don't know, it seemed like an age, but when I was praying and crying and different things, but it was probably only about 10 minutes, that moment. But as I asked Jesus into my life and gave my life to him, I began to experience his incredible love and peace come and fill me, and had a sense that this day, if I was to do this, This is what it felt like, that if Andrew was God, which he isn't, but if he was, It was like, as I was praying, I was handing my life over. My life was now going to be in someone else's hands. That's what it felt like. I didn't understand what it would mean, but I knew that from this day forward, my life would belong to Jesus, and it has. And I've had a remarkable journey, and it's still going strong in following Jesus. That's where we're all at today, isn't it? We're here because we want to find out more about Jesus and follow him with a passion. And there's a desperate world outside that desperately needs to know him too. And I trust that today's message will help you and stir you and provoke you, encourage you. Let's go further with Jesus than we've ever been before. Let's not settle back to just being content to come here on a Sunday. I'm not saying that you do that, by the way. Or content with where we've got to in our Christian lives. Let's be stirred up afresh today that God wants to do such amazing things that we haven't seen anything yet. You know, the best is yet to come. Do you believe that? The best is yet to come. God's a God that does better things, greater things, as the more we follow after him. And that's what I'm getting out of Luke's gospel. It's like the next page. It's challenging. Yes, it is challenging. But just to see the things that Jesus did, and he's saying, I want you to do the same things. I want you to follow me with a passion. And first of all, this sketch here on my right-hand side, this isn't the Olympics, by the way, but it represents three circles. Guess what they represent? You can shout out. Just talk to me. Spirit. No. Go higher. Spirit. Holy Spirit. Father. Son. Three. The three in one. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read at verse 3. This is where we're going to start this morning. And this morning's message, I've just entitled it, Sent, Cross, Glory, Story. Okay, sent, that's our theme at the moment in Kingdom Faith. We are sent people. We're sent out every day by God. It just depends whether we're going to do the things that he sent us to do or whether we do the things that we want to do. But he has sent us, and we're looking at the cross, the glory, and our story. It's his story, really, that we've been sent to tell. So we're starting in heaven this morning with the Father, God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 3 of Ephesians 1, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So you're blessed today. If you've received Jesus into your life, you are blessed. And I don't think we don't realize completely how blessed we are. Our Christian life is a discovery every day, finding out how much more we're blessed than we realized. I believe today, as I'm walking with Jesus, I've found out more even over these last 6 months how much more blessed I am. When I gave my life to him at 10 and a half, I didn't realize how much blessing there was. You know, a lot of Christians talk about the cost, and there is a cost to following Jesus, but the blessings far outweigh any cost. In fact, it's a completely unfair, it's not even a bargain, is it? It's a completely unfair transaction. This covenant that God says, look, give me what you've got, which is absolutely nothing, really. And I'll give you everything that I have, and I want to pour it into your life, into your spirit, into your body, into you as a person, so that you'll carry me to others, so that they can find out who I am through you. And that's really the work of the church. That's the work of that the church has been entrusted, is to be so full of God that people can see Jesus, not just in us as individuals, but in us as a people. As I was praying for you as a church here this morning, as a congregation here, the thing that God really impressed upon me today was that he is forming you. He's the potter, we're the clay, but he's forming you and he's forming us as a people. And it's very, very important that we let the potter form us in the way that shape us the way he wants to, because he wants to shape us, not just individually, but corporately together, so that we're carriers of his glory, carriers of his presence, and we do his will here in this place, in Worthing and this region. And I saw God forming and enlarging, that was the word, enlarging you as a people, enlarging your heart, enlarging your spirit, enlarging your faith, enlarging you as a people. That's what he's doing today. That's what he's doing in this season. He wants to enlarge us so that we allow him to fill us more than we've ever been filled before. Anyone up for that? To be fuller than ever before, full of his love and his grace and his power. It says we've been blessed. Say, I've been blessed. Turn to someone and say, you've been blessed. And you have. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Just say holy. What does that word mean? Set apart. We've been set apart, holy, without blame, blameless. That's what Jesus did on the cross before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons, become children of God, sons of God, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Isn't that incredible? I remember in my teenage years, walking to the bathroom one morning, feeling a little bit low about something. I don't know what it was now, but feeling a bit depressed, a bit low. Something had upset me. And looking in the mirror, as you do sometimes in the mornings when you get up, and I heard God speak to me, and he just said to me, Paul, he said, repeat these words after me. I never heard God speak to me like that before, but he did. It's not just someone at the front that says, repeat these words, but God actually said to me, say these words. I am a son of God. I must have been about 15, maybe 16. I am a son of God. And I heard him say to me, say it again. I'll be honest with you. I didn't feel like I was a son of God. I didn't feel like even saying I was a son of God that particular morning. But he said, say these words, I am. So I did. I said, I am a son of God. He said, say it again. I am a son of God. Say it louder, he said. I hope I don't wake anyone up. I am a son of God. And he repeated that to me in my mind, in my heart, a numbers of times. I don't know how many times I said it, but I knew at the end of that time when I was in the bathroom, that Saturday morning, whatever it was, I knew at the end of that time I had a revelation that I was a son of God. And I would never be the same again, because I grasped the truth that I was a son of God, so I was going to live as a son. And whatever was trying to pull me down, I was going to rise up over. It was a revelation to me that I was a son of God. Isn't it amazing how God speaks to us and brings different revelations through us, through our Christian walk, through our walk with him? You are a son of God today. You're a child of God. He died on the cross for you. He made you blameless. He made you holy. He set you apart completely. So we start in heaven. And can we have the next sheet? That this front sheet will fall off. As if by magic, it will come away. And then we're going to have the second sheet. We're going to look at what that says. And we're going to go to Galatians chapter 2. So if you'd like to go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. How many of you know what that says without even looking? Galatians 2:20. I'm sure some of you know it. Would someone like to help Andrew here? Okay, so we've got two crosses. We've got this one, which is the one we use for our outreach in Crawley. That's why it's so battered. So the other week I was in Crawley, and the town centre manager came and he said to me, you know, you're not allowed to carry that here. I said, oh, I didn't realise that. I'm really sorry. Why is that? He said, well, you've got to get permission to have the cross, which is why some of the guys have a wheel on it so they can move it, keep it moving. So it's one of those little laws, isn't it? So anyway, he was very gracious. He let us continue to preach the gospel. I said, I'll remember that for next time. Get permission to have the cross in Crawley Town Square. Anyway, the cross, Galatians 2, verse 20. Let's just read it, shall we, together. I don't know if we've got different versions. Let's read it off the screen, shall we? Let's say it together. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is an incredible truth, that Jesus came down. He came down as one man, and he went back as many. Isn't that true? He came down as one man, but he went back as many. That's why he came. He became part of God, was broken off, if I can put it that way, became a human being. Part of him became a man, and he came and took our place, died on the cross, so that you and I could be forgiven, saved, set free, so that we can begin to experience him in our lives and receive his life. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives. You know that God's looking for are people who are selfless, are people who are no longer concerned about themselves. In the church today, I'm talking about generally in the church, the church has become very self-centered, very kind of consumerized, full of what they need, our needs, need-centered. But what God is doing currently in the church is begin to turn the church inside out, so the church begins to become Christ-centered, Christ-focused. That's what Kingdom Faith is all about as a church, is Christ-focused, not self-focused, Christ-focused. And this scripture really sums it up. If you live this life, you're going to be blessed. If you live this life, dying to self, not living for yourself, but living for Christ, living for others, living for the gospel, living for the kingdom, then God's going to bring you into great freedom and liberty. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Do you know, when I left Hill Place all those years ago and moved down to Ramsgate, it was down at Ramsgate that I had another revelation. And the revelation was this one, that I've been crucified with Christ. I had this revelation that actually when Jesus died, I died with him. I was actually crucified with him, not physically, obviously, because I'm still here. But actually, when Christ died on the cross, he included me in that death. And somehow I grasped it on that day, and God delivered me from myself. Does that make sense? He delivered me from constantly thinking about me. And that can be a real pain. If you constantly think about you and about your worries, your concerns, or self-indulgence, all those different things that we have that makes us ourselves, God says, listen, I want to set you free from yourself. And for me, that was the beginning of another revelation, to understand that Jesus died for me, that I've been crucified with him, that I no longer have to live out of myself, but I live out of Christ who is living in me. It says that the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith. One of the versions says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I like that. That we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So God wants us to live free, my brothers and sisters. And the truth is, because of what he's done on that cross, you catch a revelation of that, of what he's really done for you on the cross. And you think, well, that means then that his life is the life I'm going to live then. And it's liberating. It really is. It's wonderful. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, and we're going to read this at verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23. As we're going through Luke, particularly at the moment, and this really struck me the other day. He said to all, if any person wills, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible, okay, so it'll come a little bit louder or different, expanded. He said to me, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget himself, lose himself, lose sight of himself, wow, and his own interests. See, as a boy, I was very self-conscious. I was quite fearful, easily intimidated. But when the Holy Spirit began to fill me, and when I got this revelation as well later on in those few years, I realized it's not about me. And I began to lose sight of myself. It's the most liberating thing. And you then become the person God really made you to be. You discover who you really are when Jesus does that. And so he says here, deny yourself, disown yourself, forget yourself, lose sight of yourself and your own interests. Refuse and give up yourself. And take up your cross daily. So this is a daily exercise. I don't know, anyone do daily exercises here? Press-ups, sit-ups, running, training? Well, here's a daily exercise for us. It says that we're to deny ourselves, disown ourselves, forget ourselves, lose sight of ourselves, our own, refuse and give up ourselves, and take up the cross daily and follow. Jesus said, follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, even in dying. That's embracing Jesus completely. That's how we lose ourselves. It's by embracing Jesus. It's by focusing completely upon him. Whoever would preserve his life, his self-life, will lose it. But whoever loses his self-life will find it, will find the real life that's found in Jesus. For my sake, he will preserve and save it from the penalty of eternal death. This is the cross. And if you've got your piece of post-it note, I just want you to write down on, not the sticky side, there's a sticky bit on the top behind that post-it note. Not on that side, on the front side of it. I want you to write at least just five words that describe how you are blessed this morning. Five words that describe how you're blessed. Do you want one? Just write down how I've been blessed. You've been forgiven. You've been loved. You've been healed. Just write down five areas, five things. There's loads when you think about it. You've been so loved. Just write down five things that describe how you've been blessed. you might write the word delivered. That might be a real word for you, that of what God's done for you. This might be a faith statement for some of you this morning. If you're going through stuff that if you like, physically isn't resolved, but you know it's God's word, write it down. You've been blessed. Speak it out. Declare it now. And when you finish those five words, you might like want to come back to me. I want you to put on the back and something that you yourself is struggling with this morning, or something that's a burden to you, something that's a concern for you this morning. It may be for you personally. Start there. It may be for somebody else, but something that you're carrying this morning, which is a burden. It might be about your future. It may be that things aren't quite clear. You need clarity, but just write down on the flip side those things that concern you today. Just write those things. It might be fear. Maybe there'll be a word that will describe it this morning. Something that you're challenged with today. Write it down on the flip side. Something you're carrying before God today. All I can tell you is when we're going to have an opportunity to worship in a short time, and we come and worship, I'll explain how we're going to do this, but we're going to stick this on the cross. This isn't a ritual that we do here, by the way, in Kingdom Faith. We're not worshiping the cross at all, but it's just a really helpful graphic visual aid to help us this morning to exercise faith, to thank God of what he's done for us on the cross. This is our point of liberation. Jesus is sending us from the cross, if I can put it that way, from the cross to do his will, to do his work. And there's some things that we need to thank him for, but there's some things that we need to leave with him this morning and ditch at the cross. Things concerning ourselves. For me, it was fear, timidity. It was self-consciousness, those kind of things. There were some things I needed to ditch at the cross. Jesus took all that for you. He's borne it for you. He's carried it away. If it's depression, he took it on the cross for you. He bore it on the cross. Sickness, he bore on the cross. Those are the kind of things that we're talking about that you want to put on the flip side of your paper. There's nothing wrong in having those things, providing you know what to do with them. Because we're living life. There's nothing wrong in having those things, but it's knowing what to do with them. God doesn't want you to keep them. He wants you to give them to him this morning. I will come to that a little bit later. Let's have the next sketch. Perhaps someone can help Andrew with this. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Are you all still with me? Are you all with me? Hebrews chapter 10. Jesus is sending us from the cross. And you might think this morning, oh yeah, we've been sent, haven't we, to what was the one underneath that? Let's just have a quick look. What's the picture underneath that? This was done for me by some great artists here earlier this morning. So I'm just going to make sure this looks right. Let's have a quick look. Oh yes, let's have that one first. Okay. We're going to go to Hebrews 10, because what Jesus did on the cross, and you think, well, we've been told to go and preach the gospel, which we have. But do you know the most important thing God said to me about today is it's really, really important that we meet with him in his glory. And this is a daily thing. God wants to imprint himself upon our lives. And if you look, let's read in Hebrews 10, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified version. Listen to this, verse 14. It says, "For by a single offering, he has forever, completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated," that means completely given to him, "and made holy." Shall I read that again? "For by a single offering, Jesus has forever, completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy." Wow, that's what Jesus has done. Forever. His complete work on the cross, his finished work on the cross. That's what he's done for us. "And also the Holy Spirit adds his testimony to us in confirmation of this. For having said, 'This is the agreement, the covenant that I will set up and conclude with them after those days,' says the Lord." Listen to this. "I will imprint my laws upon their hearts and I will inscribe them on their minds. on their inmost thoughts and understanding. There's something that the Holy Spirit wants to do when we spend time with Him, when we get up in the morning, when we read the Bible, read the Word of God, and when we spend time in prayer. There's something He wants to do. He wants to, I love the word here, because when I was praying, He said to me about this morning, He said it's to do with imprint. He said His Spirit wants to imprint. That was the actual word He used, to imprint His laws, His truths, His revelations on the inside of us. Does that make sense? He will imprint His laws upon our hearts and inscribe them, write them inside of us, in our minds, in our hearts, in our minds, on our thoughts and our understanding. Does that make sense? So when we come to meet with Jesus, it's not to have a nebulous time of nothing. It's the time when we meet with Him, and He wants to, in His presence, He will impart into your life His Spirit, His revelation, His truths, His understanding. Just ask Him to do it. Just ask Him to do it. That's why spending time in reading the Word of God every day, the Holy Spirit will use that as fuel, and He'll feed your spirit. He'll bring understanding. He'll bring light to you. That's the way it works. But let Him do it. Spend time praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, spending time in prayer, listening to God, and He wants to reveal more of His glory. You see, that's Jesus seated there at the right hand of the Father. I can put it that way. But you're seated there too. You're included in that position this morning. That's where you belong, seated with Him in the heavenly places. And let's just read a little bit further. It says here, and this is the really important part, because it will affect how we live. It will affect how you live, whether you live free, whether you live for the gospel or not. It says here in verse 19, "Therefore, brothers, since we have full freedom and confidence," just say confidence. Now, another word for confidence, confidence. Another word is boldness. Not boldness, okay? Boldness. It says boldness. Let's have boldness, confidence, to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and virtue in the blood of Jesus. I don't know about you, but this has been one of my favorite passages of scripture for years and years. And I know it off by heart. I know it in the New King James Version, because that's the one I read a lot. And I just see myself coming before His throne of glory. I may not feel anything at that point, but I'm coming by faith, and I know I'm before Him. I know I'm appearing before Him when I pray, when I'm having time with Him. And in that moment, I come with great confidence, and I know that He understands everything that I'm facing, every thought, everything that I have, but I'm pouring my heart out to Him so I can meet with Him, and He can imprint then what He wants into my heart. This is a transaction that God wants us to have. And if we don't come in with this kind of confidence, then nothing will happen. And God's saying, I don't want you to have nothing happening meetings. I want you to have meetings with Me on your own. This is when you meet with God, where you receive from God, you receive from His Spirit every single day. He is leaving an imprint of His presence in your life. Are you with me? He wants to inscribe, He wants to imprint into our hearts and minds His Word, His truth, Himself. And we'll come out different. And this is what it says. It says, since we have full freedom, confidence to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. That's where He is this morning. And it says, by this fresh, new and living way, which He initiated and He dedicated and opened for us through the separated curtain, the veil of the Holy of Holies, that is through His flesh. And since we have such a great and wonderful and noble priest who rules over the house of God, let us come forward. God's saying, move forward, church. We're a moving forward church, aren't we? God's calling the church to move forward, to advance. This is not a time to stand still. This is a time to really advance, to move forward. He says, come forward and draw near with a true, honest, and sincere heart. In unqualified assurance, an absolute conviction engendered by faith, by that leaning, I like this, by the leaning of your entire personality on God. I don't know about you, but that's me. I'm leaning on God. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm leaning on You, because You do. I'm trusting You that you're going to bring the right thing. You're going to say the right thing here. Absolute confidence in God, in His power, His wisdom, and His goodness. Having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty conscience, and our bodies cleansed with pure water. Isn't that great? So if we take just these couple of verses and we begin to say, Lord, I want to live this out. I want this to be a daily exercise of coming to you in this with this incredible faith, and I want you to imprint upon me what you have. I want your spirit to imprint upon me your very nature. I want you to inscribe into my mind and thoughts and your mind and your heart, so that in this time that I have with in worship of you and giving myself to you this morning, God, this day I will be changed. And we come out of the Holy of Holies, which is where we've just been, and we come out different. Do you see that? I'll just tell you a story. Something happened to me this week that is a good example of how it works. Having spent some time with God, with the Lord, and letting him imprint what he wanted into my heart this particular day, when it came to the evening, we had a group for unsaved people. And we showed a video. It's a 30-minute video. And you know, when we got there, God said to me, it's this lady's son. It's her son that I really want to reach tonight. He's about 16 years of age. He knows about God, but he's not given his life to him yet. And I invited him to come and sit around the table as we watched this DVD. And while we watched this DVD, God spoke to me and he said, I want you to take 10 minutes out to talk to him. That's a really strange thing to do in the middle of a video. Take 10 minutes out and talk to him. That's going to disrupt everything. And I had this debate going in my head, but I just thought, I'll just wait. And as God spoke to me, literally within the next couple of minutes, the video did the buffering bit, because we got this off YouTube. We got off YouTube and it started buffering. Stopped. And so there was a little circle going around in circles like this. I'm thinking, God, is this... Yeah, he said, this is the time to talk to him. Take him out of the room. So I took him out of the room for 10 minutes, shared the gospel with him, what God had done for me, and then began to prophesy, speak God's word over him. This is what God wants to do for you. This season of time we're in right now is for you. He wants you to give your life to Jesus. It spelt out real clear. Loved him and prayed for him. And it wasn't the right moment. He will do it. I'm convinced he'll do it over these next couple of weeks. He's ready. And his life is laid out before him to serve God. It's a very, very powerful moment. Finished, went back, sat down around the table. It's still going like this, round and round and round, buffering. And then we sat down for about a minute and it started. Where did I get that from? Well, I didn't know all those details, but I knew, because I spent time in the presence of God, God took control. That's the way it works. You don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know if we spend time in his presence and let the imprint of God touch our lives, he will take care of everything else that follows in the course of that day. It is a daily walk that we have with him. I want to encourage you in your daily walk. Don't think about next week. I mean, there's a place to think about. There's a place for planning in that, but think about today. Think about, how can I serve God today? What, God, do you want me to do today? Take a day at a time. Live in the rest of today. And his presence and his glory. Let his glory impact your life. Let him imprint you. That's what this morning's all about. To let the imprint of God come. Because the more that we dedicate ourselves to him, the more that we're given to him, the more he will do. Let's just read a couple of more verses. Can we do that? In Hebrews 10. It says here, let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope that we cherish and confess, and acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable and faithful to his word. Seize and hold fast the hope that we have. And let us consider, listen to this. This all comes out of spending time in the presence of Jesus, spending time worshiping him, spending time giving ourselves to him. Let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. Just turn around, look at one another. We did that earlier. Look around. Okay, so the person you're looking at is a one another. They're another. And the church is made up of lots of one another's. And it says that we're to take continuous care to watch over one another. As a pastor, as a leader of one of our congregations, I do that every day. I'm watching over people, taking care. But I can't do it all. In fact, God never intended me to do it all. He intended me to have a role, but it's actually for us all to do. And when we spend time in the presence of God, when we walk through our day, God will put people on our hearts, bring people to mind that we're to pray for, we're to send a text to, we're to email, maybe even to call, maybe to give them something that they need. But God wants us to be active, not thinking about ourselves. There it is again, but thinking about others. When we live a lifestyle of living for others, God will take care of ourselves. He will look after us. He will take care of us. Amen. And it says, look out for one another, studying how we may stir up. You've got some good stirrers here in this church. There's some great stirrers here. And we need to be stirrers up of others, stirring one another up, stimulating, inciting to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking the meeting together, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging. Three things: warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. God is faithful, isn't he? And so as we spend time before him, he wants us to think about one another, encouraging one another. I think it's great that Liz is going out today into the town. It's great that others have this real heart for outreach. It's great to go out and share the gospel with people, whether it's on the streets or in the workplace with your neighbors. That's God's heart. Let's go to Luke's gospel, chapter 10. Can we just go there? And this is this sketch. This is the final sketch. Luke's gospel, chapter 10. Luke 10. So this is another scripture that God spoke to me about as we're reading Luke's gospel at the moment. Do any of you know what that is? Sorry? Speak to the world. What's that? What is that supposed to be? A megaphone? Anything else? Trumpet? Anything else? Well, that'll do, won't it? It's a megaphone and a trumpet. It can be whatever you like it to be, but it is a trumpet, and it's trumpeting the good news, the gospel. Let's just read in Luke 10, shall we? After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two. I don't know how many people are in the room this morning, but let's just suppose there's 70 and you got into pairs. That makes 35 pairs if my maths is right. And he sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great. Would you agree with that? The harvest is great. I mean, it's everywhere you look. It's all around the world. There's a harvest field that waiting to be reaped. But the laborers, the workmen, are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs amongst wolves. That's what Jesus was saying. And then he talked about heal the sick, cast out demons, preach the gospel. If we all work from the cross, Jesus sent us to the cross. He crucified, and we were crucified with Jesus when he died on that cross. And today we're going to bring some needs to him. We're going to thank him that we're blessed. But from the cross, we always go to the throne of glory. Jesus, you know, the Lord loves you as a person, and he longs for you to come to him. It's not just a longing for what you do. He longs for you as a person. He loves you as a person. You say, well, how could someone really love me? He does. He loves you as a whole person. So he loves you as a person. You know that. And he loves all the things about you. And he'll change the things that aren't quite so good. But he loves you. And he'll do that. And we need to know that love in our lives. And so that's why we need to spend time with him, coming into his glory, really spending time with him. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. And he cares about you, who you are, before what you do. For many years, I was concerned about what I did for God. And I still am. But it's not the first thing. The first thing is, I'm loved by him. I want to know him. I want to be devoted to him. And you know, God is more interested in you, not what you do. He's interested in you. Out of knowing him and him knowing you, because he knows everything about you, but out of drawing you close to him, you can then do the things he wants you to do. But you do it out of this incredible rest and peace and joy and love and grace and mercy, because he's imprinted himself upon your life. And I just sense today that God is saying, it's not that he's not doing anything. He's doing lots of stuff in all of our lives. But I just sense today God is saying, I want to enlarge you. I want to enlarge your heart towards me. Maybe for some of you today, maybe it's just got a little bit stale. Maybe maybe you've just lost the pace a little bit. Maybe the edge has just got, you know, just not quite so sharp. But God is saying, just come back. Come back via the cross. I'm sending you from the cross, not out into the world, but to me first. And from me, I will then send you out into the world. Do you get that? For many years, I live just going from the cross out. But today, I go from the cross to the glory to tell my story, the story of Jesus and what he's done in my life. Do you get that? So it's cross, glory, story. Remember that? Cross, glory, story. Let's say it together, shall we? Cross, glory, story. His story and your story, what he's done for you, and telling other people about Jesus. That's the way it works. And the more that we give ourselves to him in his presence, I guarantee you can't stay at home. You can't stay the same. You can't stay doing nothing. You have to do something and find out what it is particularly that God has asked you to do in telling the story of Jesus to others. Does that make sense? That's the mission of the church. God is enlarging us as a body, enlarging us as a church, so that we will be sent from the cross, recognizing he's done it all. If I continue to follow him and dedicate my life to him, I'll see the finished work of Jesus working through in my life, daily coming to him, repenting, turning to him when there's things that are wrong, being cleansed, forgiven on a daily basis. It's finished. It's done. And then meeting him with his glory, letting him imprint his life, his spirit inside of me, really meeting with the risen Jesus. Do you know what the world sees? The world actually sees a lot more Jesus than you know in our lives. The world isn't stupid. People know. People know if it's real or not. And God is saying, be real, come to me. Be real, come to me. Let me imprint my presence into your life so that when you go out with the gospel of Jesus, people will actually recognize me. They may not everyone wants to follow him, but they will recognize who he is and what he's done. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's just respond over these next 5 minutes. Let's just begin to respond to him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Could we just move this? Thank you, Jesus. Let's just have the worship guys up, shall we? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. What we're going to do is I'm going to suggest that as people come forward now, that maybe we can have the cross just in the center here, and then you can come up from both sides. We're just going to rededicate our lives to him this morning. Is that okay? That I'm going to live via the cross. I'm going to rededicate the time that I spend with my God, with my Jesus, and give myself and expect him to imprint his presence and his word and his thoughts, inscribe them on my mind and my understanding in a new way. God's going to cause you to enter into a new season. And it comes by that, and then we're going to find that God's going to move us and we're going to become even more fruitful in telling others about Jesus, bring them to him, inviting them to meet the Savior and being born again. So let's just worship the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.